Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, one of your hosts for this evening, Simulcast. I want to thank several people that we already have on with us. I'm quite sure more will be coming on. We're also recording live, and we're on Facebook Live, Blog Talk, and several other formats. And so we want to welcome everybody who took their time to chime in with us. You know, as always, we come on these airwaves not just to hear ourselves talk. We come up here to share information that can enhance your quality of life, or at least we hope it will. And we have a variety of people. We talk about a variety of subjects. But the whole point is that we want to encourage you, especially those who look like us. When I say us, me, melanated, black, African-American. And I just want to make a point. We don't put down any group or race of people. It's just that my mission in life is to uplift my people, because unfortunately in man's world, men see things so differently than reality sometimes. And we see race, we see territory, we see country, we even see high schools. You know, if you go to different high schools, you almost like the enemy. You know, my school better than your school. So we had this kind of nature in us. It's not nature, but we was taught these type of things that divides us. And all we trying to do is uplift ourselves, to do for ourselves. And that is a loss. Look out for yourself. And so before we get started, we're going to talk about a variety of things today, because so much is going on. You know, they just pulled out of Afghanistan, but there's a lot of people who's left behind. The hurricane, I forgot the name, Etta or something like that. It's hit New Orleans, Louisiana, places like that, pretty bad. I've seen some of the cars watching it periodically. And then you had the fires in California, all up and down the West Coast. And then on the East Coast, you have all types of flooding, hurricanes, and stuff like that taking place. And in between between all of that, we have the viruses running rampant. And we still have the employment situation, the racial situation, everything. I mean, things are getting real heavy. And it seems like it's rolling out of control. But I believe there's hope. No matter what situation we have been in, just look over your own life, no matter you've been in a lot of crisis situation, somehow, some way, you made it through. And so, therefore, I'm so encouraged, because I'm around people who are doing wonderful and great things. But before we get into our discussion, I want to bring on my partner, Mr. Satavi Jahi, who always has some encouraging words and uplifting information. So, Brother Satavi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And yes, there's a lot going on in the country and in the world. And as we do each and every time we come on these airways, we try to start off with a positive message, and we read from Daily Motivations for African American Success by author Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Reading for the day, fourth and long. I used to want the word "she tried" on my tombstone. Now I want "she did it." Catherine Dunham, producer and choreographer. Reading for the day. The word impossible is a dangerous word. Too often, progress has been delayed or even halted by people who use that word. Transplant a human heart? Impossible. Put a man on the moon? Impossible. Place a black man or woman in the White House? Impossible. But are any of these missions truly impossible? As Earl G. Gray's publisher of Black Enterprise magazine remarked, over time, the impossible becomes possible. And we saw that in terms of Barack Obama being the first African-American president in this country. So we know about possibilities and things that can happen. When we utter out loud the word impossible, has a devastating effect on our subconscious mind. Thinking stops, progress halts, doors slam shut, effort comes to a screeching halt, projects are abandoned, hopes are dashed, dreams are discarded, the light of imagination goes dim, the best and the brightest of the creative brain cells die in some dark corner of the mind, and the result, possibilities are rejected. Now, let someone utter the magic words, it may be possible. I don't know how or when, but it might be possible. Those stirring words rally faith, rally forth hopes yet unborn. Buried dreams are resurrected. Enthusiasm begins to build. Sparks begin to fly. Dusty flies, files are reopened. Lights go on. Once closed factories or retooled, ideas are developed, markets begin to open, telephones begin to ring, the drought ends. Never allow anyone to get by with the judgment that something is impossible. That is one word that blocks all human progress. Possibility thinkers see every problem as a possibility. Every obstacle is a challenge. Today, I won't allow anyone to tell me what is impossible. I will define my own limits. And, you know, again, I checked on people down in New Orleans because, you know, I come out of that area, lived there for like 13 years. And me and my family, we are Hurricane Katrina survivors, you know what I mean? And the hurricane came through on the anniversary of Katrina. And, you know, so there's a lot going on in the country, you know what I mean? The hurricane knocked over a power tower, so people down there right now, excuse me, are in darkness. They don't have access to electricity or other things. So what they have to do, and people I've been communicating with, again, is the power of the cell phone, which, again, was created by a black man. And, you know, so we need to be thankful for this cell phone. It allows us to be able to communicate with each other and reach one another. And the cell phone was created by, trying to pull it up here a second.
Okay. Why you have it, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, while you doing your research, we're going to keep this conversation going, and you know, just chime in when you can, bro. And
okay.
Go ahead, sir. Do you have it, sir?
Hold on one second here.
No, okay, but we have to keep the show going, Brother Tatavi. So while you looking
okay.
for it, we have to keep this ball rolling. And so, you know, again, we don't have what you call, oftentimes on the show, we have special guests, but, you know, everybody on there is special to me. And as I mentioned on the onset of the podcast, as we most of you know, if you watch the news or you listen to people conversation, it's a lot going on in this country and around this country and all over the world, really. But, you know, this country is being hit with all types of situations, the hurricane, the flooding, the fire, COVID, and you know, we still have the racial problem, everything. Just a lot going on, and people, like people unemployed, people, children going back to school. We don't know if we're sending them in harm's way. So it's just so much. So for those of you who pray, I strongly suggest you do that, because it do, from my point of view, it do avail us much. And a lot of people are hurting. A lot of people are going to be hurt. And but you know, life has always been challenging in some form or another. And it is those of us, like many of you that I see is on this call right now, who are people who have been through many challenges yourself, but somehow, some way, you made it through. But you just not only you helped yourself, but you also went out to help others as well. And for such a time as this, so many people need help. And see, that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast. That's one of the reasons why we do the National Black Unity News, to bring light into dark places, to bring hope where they seem like people are hopeless, and to have solutions so people can do for themselves, pull themselves up. We pull each other up. And tonight, because I often tell you this, see, when you do a podcast on the internet and Facebook and all these other places, whether you know it or not, it goes viral. Some people think viral because it has 100,000 people just there. But, you know, once it hits those airways, you never know where it goes. It can go all over the world. And by we've been on several different formats, so we don't know, never know who's actually listening, who's going to be listening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So, but nevertheless, our voices go out and people do hear us. And since people do hear us tonight, because so many challenging things are taking place, and people, like I say, oftentimes don't know how they're going to make it, don't know what to do, where to go. And so I'm going to open up the call tonight, because there are several people on here who have proven track records, who weathered the storms, and who was on the front line working and helping us, our people. But they help people in general, but they especially help us Black people, melanated people. And tonight, I'm going to share just a few words just to let people know that there is hope. And what I want you all to do, those who on the Zoom call with me, if you want to, is to share some light on these dark situations, because most of you are, as I said before, are powerful people in your own ways, and your words do not come back forward. Words that you speak, you don't know who will hear you, but you know, but your words do have power. And I'm going to share this, you know, most of you know me personally. And this year alone, I've been through a lot of health challenges, stroke, seizures. I was once diagnosed as a diabetic and had COVID around this time last year in November. And somehow, especially the last time with the going through the stroke, and I had a series of seizures right after. And every time, every hour, I was going through a seizure. And I was very conscious of everything. And things begin, the doctors running around and stuff, you know, everybody, you know, they gave me this supposed to be some magic bullet kind of stuff that supposed to stop clotting or something. But, you know, it worked for a little while, but then that didn't work anymore. And so I'm going back into these seizures again. And I wasn't sure, but, it, you know, I said, this might be my last time, you know, around. And you know, I have what some would call a relationship with God, but you know, I wasn't fearful, but the only thing that was really on my mind was, you know, my work is not, I could have done more. I should have done more. And those types of things. And I was thinking about a special group of people as well. And that was so strange to me in a time like that. But this lady came to me, and she looked like she was agent persuasion, so to speak. But she grabbed my hand while I was going through these seizures and stuff, you know. And she has such a radiant about her that, you know, and a smile that was so calming, you know. And she just said, Mr. Murphy, everything going to be all right. She was patting my hand while she was saying, she said, everything going to be all right. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but later on that morning, I had one more seizure, but this was a small one because it was a last about a minute at the time. I have a timer. And this one lasted about 15 seconds. And I just had a real calm feeling after the last one. And the lady came back, she said, are you all right? And I just asked her, you know, because I, you know, people know me, you know, I'm out there some kind of way. You know, people think I'm crazy as a baseball sometimes. But I did ask her, you know, I thought, are you an angel? And I was serious because that glow on her, such a glow. And my response to her, you know, was just a calming feeling. And that's just my thing. And, you know, like I say, I'm telling you this because during that period of time, the incident that she did when she grabbed my hand and that smile and said everything was going to be all right gave me hope. It gave me calmness in a rough spot. I was between, you know, seriously, life and death. And so, you know, and I had not incidents like that, but I had many incidents in my life when it seemed like there was no way out. But somehow, some way, things happened. And I'm going to share this, and I'm going to open up the phones to some people. I'm going to call some of you out because I know certain things about you that other people may need to know. But, you know, this thing in the black community, you know, especially here in America, we want to do this thing called unity. We a lot of people out there have been fighting for this thing called us coming together, because we do have power. If we do that, people all over the world know this about us. I can prove all kinds of ways that the way people see us. It's just unfortunate we don't see ourselves in the same light sometimes. You know, because I'm in media, and a lot of us have truly been brainwashed. We have been taught to fear each other. We have been taught to think less or even do less than our capabilities. No, I mean, we don't even, you know, but it's unfortunately that your environment sometimes and the situation people put you in form your thinking sometimes. But I, too, is one of those people been out there 40 years trying to achieve unity. And many programs, businesses that I ran, all of them had that goal in mind. And much of stuff that went on last year with the marchings and all of this kind of stuff taking place in the streets, for the first time, I tell people it was like a Martin Luther King experience. When he said he went to the mountaintop and he seen little black boys and little black children, you know, but I seem like I've been to the mountaintop too. Because the first time in my life, after all of these years of fighting and clawing for this thing we call unity, I finally got a glimpse of it. And the strangest thing, I found it in the people who run the National Black Unity News. I seen not only how they pray for me and care for me when I was going through a lot of my traumas, in good times as well as in bad times, but I seen how they cooperated with each other, how they shared information with each other. See, we have meetings every once a week. We have one tomorrow night. You're all welcome to come on. We talk about business, but somehow, some way, sometimes we drift off into other areas and we just talk to each other about real life and real situations. And if y'all were to fly on the wall or something, if you would hear some of the conversations that we have with each other, how deep it gets sometimes, how the love flows amongst each other, how the care, you can see it, you can feel it, you know. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. And so, so I'm full of hope. And I have a lot of, that's why I do the things I do, because I see the possibilities and I see our strengths, and not only as collectively, but as individuals. But, you know, today I'm going to open up. You know, some of you, I want you to just speak up. If you don't, I'm going to call some of you out. Matter of fact, I'm going to do this because I see a couple of ladies on here. Some of you may know some of them. Some of them you may not. But I'm going to start off with my friend, Fran Allen. Now, Fran and I go a long way back, and Fran been on the, I call, you know, been on the front line. She's done a lot of things in her lifetime. But I just want to share, you know, I don't want to, you know, Fran to tell your whole life story, but, you know, just a few minutes. Fran recently had moved to North Carolina from Baltimore and moved to North Carolina. And what does, and I just want to, you know, and Fran is, you know, how we say in this society, we would call ourselves being retarded from our jobs or careers or something like this. But I do know one thing about a career and your work. See, that work is that thing that God puts in you, your God-given talents, you know, and your gifts, as you call them. Your job is something that you got to make money with and all of that kind of stuff. But Fran was working here. I mean, her gifts, her natural talents. Right here in Baltimore, since I know her. But what does she do? She goes down to North Carolina. And Fran, what are you doing in North Carolina right now?
Hey, David. Yeah, I knew you was going to call me out. That's what you do. I'm going to get you for that. So I did move to North Carolina from Baltimore. And when I moved here, I did not know a soul. I had one girlfriend in Raleigh. That's about 40, 45 minutes away from where I'm actually living. So I came down here. I didn't know anyone. I sold my house on a Monday, and on the following Saturday, I was in North Carolina looking for property. And my son drove down with me, and we found this house. And at first, I didn't really see myself here. But my son kept telling me, Ma, I can see you living here. I can see you here. I can see you here. And I kept looking at him like, you just want this house when I'm gone. See, I know what you're doing. You shopping for you through me. Uh-huh. But God started working with me. That's the only thing that I can say, because I ended up getting the particular house that my son chose for me. And it looks like Jesus chose this house through my son for me. That's what really happened. So I'm in this place. It's a beautiful, brand new home. No one's ever lived in it before me. It was brand new, freshly built in a great community that's only about 2 years old. There's about 50 houses in my development. And the oldest house in here is about 2 years old. And the church that I ended up going to, that God sent me to, that I drove past for a good 2-3 months before I actually went into church, is right behind my house, walking distance. I can walk to church on Sunday. I was still being rebellious because I did all that work in Baltimore. You know, I worked with a congressman. I helped so many people do so many different things. And, you know, I don't keep score. And people see me and they're like, yo, Fran, you know, do you remember when? And I say yes, but the answer is really no. I don't know who they are. I don't remember their names. I can't remember what it was that I did for them because I don't keep score like that. I just did my job. And then when my job was done, I thought I was getting away and I was going to leave that life and come down here and live my life, you know, live my best life. Well, God had other plans. So I finally joined the church. And the next day, I joined the church on a Sunday, and on Monday, the following Monday, I started working in the food ministry at the church, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesday mornings. I go to the church, and we bag up food that's been donated by Food Lion and Walmart and some other places. We bag up the food, and then the gentlemen at the church put it in the van and take it out into the community and feed the people in the community who've lost jobs or single moms that have 2 or 3 kids and they're having, you know, struggling trying to feed their kids and different things like that. So I've been doing that probably since, well, I moved here in January. I joined the church in April and I've been working in the church ever since. So yesterday, a pastor asked me to joined the group that is going to start the tutoring program at the church. And I'm like, oh, really? So now you're going to tie up the rest of my time. But see, that's such a lousy attitude because I'm selfish. I want my time back. But God keeps telling me, you'll have plenty of time when I give you your mansion. You need to go to work because I said go to work. So that's what I'm going to do. So now I'm feeding people on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening, I'm helping to run the tutoring program for the kids at the church. And it is such a humbling experience to see these kids come in here, you know, and it is true. These kids, like, you know, third, fourth grade, and they can't read. They can't read because nobody has taken the time to really sit with them and help them to learn how to sound out words and explain to them the definitions of things and show them how, you know, their choices really do link up to their quality of life, how when they do make bad choices, how those bad choices really do turn out to create bad situations in their life. And if they make better choices, they can change all of that. And it's so obvious working with these children, and they're like little sponges. They're like little sponges, man. Everything you say to them, they're like, oh. And then you hear them repeating the things that you say. Like I told this little boy the other day, I said, you know, if you keep doing mean things to other kids are going to do mean things to you. So you got to stop. And he said, well, I'm going to tell everybody because then they'll quit bullying me. And I was like, oh, who's bullying you? And see, I handled it. You know, this is my little guy. And if you go mess with him, you got to come mess with me. And then he was like, wow, you would fight for me? And I was like, yeah, I would. Nobody fights for me. I said, I'm going to fight for you. But you got to promise me you're going to quit fighting so I don't have to fight for you. And he was like, okay. It's like we made a deal. I wasn't really trying to make a deal, but that's how he interpreted it. And so I'm saying all that to just to say this. If you're really obedient to what God gives you to do, look at the blessing that you get from it. Look at the blessing you get from it. I'm going to be in Baltimore next week. You know, they're dedicating a event space at Bus Boys and Poets on St. Paul Street to the congressman on the 8th on Wednesday next week. So I'm going to come up for that dedication, but, you know, I got such a great blessing when while I was working in this tutoring thing, you know, I got an opportunity to go to the Outer Banks to a timeshare at a resort for free for a week. I don't know where that came from. It just dropped down out of the sky, literally. Somebody was like, you know, I can't use it, but if you want it, you can go. And I was like, what? So... just don't try to figure out what the why is. Just do it. God's given you something to do. Just do it. You don't need to know why. You don't need to like it. You don't need to understand it. You don't even have to want to do it, but you got to do it anyway because the obedience really is the thing that shores up your quality of life. When you're obedient to God, God pours out that blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. He really does. You know, I'm living in a brand new house. I have a brand new car. I am not struggling. I'm working in the church. I'm having the time of my life. The last thing I wanted to be around, I thought, was some more children. And the children keep me cracking up every day. They just bring this joy to me that I never expected. I thought they were really going to be a pain in my neck. And it turns out that it's not like that at all. So, you know, my rebellion is kind of fading away and my obedience is kind of stepping up and it's really changing the whole quality of my life. It really is.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's my thing. That's what I'm doing in North Carolina. And I got to be careful because as pastor sees this, he'll be like, well, she got time to do that. She got time to do some other stuff. So don't
all
be
right.
telling on me.
Okay. But I'm going to share one more thing. Fran, I also taking some of the youth and going to put them in the National Black Unity News.
That is
so,
true.
You know, she's taking them to the next step. Now, there's another sister on here. And I hope she feel like speaking this evening. She didn't know I was going to call her, because I didn't even know she was going to be on there. You know, I belong to this group called Maryland Council of Elders. And she's one of our members. And she's extremely active and always doing stuff. She has a lot of gifts and talents. Abinah, can you unmute yourself, please? She's the author.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I unmuted myself.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Good evening to you, Baba. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you as well. You know, I'm glad to see that you're on, and you know, since the pandemic, I haven't seen you in a while personally, but you've always been a very bright light and always sharing information, blessing people, helping people. Can you let people know what you're doing and why you're doing it?
Okay, well, what I just finished completing doing was I worked during the summer for 6 weeks with the Mayor's Summer Youth Employment Program with young people from the ages of 13 till 18. And I taught creative writing. And in that 6 weeks, I had them opening up in my class with breathing. And none of them had ever done that. I thought I would introduce them. So I asked them, how did it make them feel? They said they didn't feel as anxious, and it made them feel calm. And one young girl said she just felt like her thoughts were clear, that she could focus. And they didn't want to do it at first. And in the end, they even started writing about it in their poetry. And so at the end of the 6 weeks, they're having the poetry put in a book, which will be published, and also they're developing a podcast from their thoughts. Because I'm not going to go through it's lengthy, so I'll just say that the process that I took them through with the breathing, and instead of just saying write poetry, I started asking them, who are you? I said, your thoughts are important. Your ideals are valuable. I said, and before you can love anybody else, you first have to love yourself. And once they started dropping that fear of they freed themselves up to talk about anything. And during that time, in just those 6 weeks, I found out so much about them, and things, real trauma that had actually happened, and some of them had never shared with anyone ever, it came out. So during that, it was very successful. So also, I'm trying to think of what to write for my second book. You know, the first one was the book of poetry called Fire in the Spirit. But I do want to say that, you know, when was that? About 4 years ago, I had a fire. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because listening to you, all of us have been through some kind of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every one of us, whether we have told anyone about it or whether we have held it in for years. But there's one thing about trauma that I've learned, especially when I was using poetry as therapy at Howard Hospital with cancer patients. I was using poetry as therapy while they were getting their chemotherapy. And there's one thing about trauma. Everybody can't talk about their trauma. But if you write about it, it's the same thing. You're still getting it out.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something going on, there's some real trauma in your life, something is stressing you out, because stress will kill you, and stress has an effect on your body. Just get a journal and start writing about it. It will help in tremendous ways. And I'd like to share this one thing with you. It says, I'm going to share this thought with you. It says, if you collect 100 black ants and 100 red ants, and you put them in a glass jar, nothing will happen. But if you take that jar and shake it violently and leave it on the table, the ants will start killing each other. Red believes that black is the enemy, while black believes that red is the enemy, when the real enemy is the person who shook the jar. The same is true in society. Men versus women, left versus right, rich versus poor, faith versus science, gossip, rumors, etc. And before we fight each other, we must ask ourselves, who rocked the jar?
I like that.
And just to leave with maybe a couple of things of inspiration, I would say, let me see. I'm not going to talk long. Oh, we don't stop. These are just some sayings I like to share, maybe about three small ones. We don't stop training because we're old. We become old when we stop training. Age is not an excuse for anything in life. Let me see. I would say, maturity. It doesn't always come with age. In fact, it's deeper than age. It's about the way you see and understand things, the way you consider things, the way you communicate, the way you react, the things you value, the things you entertain, the way you represent yourself and others as an adult. Everyone grows old, but not everyone is growing up. And one last thing, this brings on a little laughter, but I like it. Lions don't lose sleep over what sheep think.
Got you.
Okay.
Got it.
It's good to be on. I'm going to try to come on more often. I'm just trying to become wiser as I age, to have more insight, to gain more knowledge. So when you can help yourself, you become stronger so that you can help others. And I love helping people. Love to write. And I love performing my poetry and writing plays. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. There's another. I'm pulling out the ladies first today. And there's another young lady who's on here who, ever since I've known her, has been on the front lines working consistently throughout the years. And even right now, she's the type of woman who can juggle 9 or 10 maybe more things at one time and constantly moving and helping, serving. And Sister Eartha, can you unmute yourself?
Hey.
How you doing? I want you to just share the people, as I mentioned earlier, it's some troubled times out here. And some people don't know what to do or how to do it, where to go, what to look for. Can you share with us some of the things that you do to help people and why you do them?
The way I look at it, Dave, is the day I was born, I guess life was supposed to be about trials and tribulations. And from that point of view, I don't see anything that I want to say that I should not be trying to figure it out. So I want to stay in the mindset that we're brilliant and we got to figure these things out, and there's always going to be something. Something is always going to be happening. And I think we may get the wrong perspective, as if when you're born, you're not going to go through the world with trials and tribulations. Now, the key to that is if you think that it is almost like the Book of Eli, if you focus. And you understand, when they did the movie, The Book of Eli, he understood that he had a purpose. He was on a journey, and he had all these obstacles that was trying to distract him and stop him from getting to the end of his journey. And even when he got to the end of his journey, whatever he thought his purpose was, and in the movie, the purpose was for him to deliver that book, which was the Bible, because the world had gotten so crazy because they lost their way, that he eventually lost or the book was taken from him. And then at the end of the movie, he was like, well, that's okay, because get you a pen and pencil. And the guy got a pen and pencil, and he wrote, you know, verbatim of his memory, the whole book again. But when he finished writing the book, the gentleman that he told to get the pen, when he was finished writing that book, Denzel Washington died, because he, like, that was my purpose. So I did what I supposed to did, and I'm done. So when we have all of these things, like you said, the storm, the wars, the disunity, the whatever you can think of, we must say to ourselves, this is our journey, and we're going, and if we understand what's supposed to be your purpose, you overcome all of those things. It's no storm, it's no protest, it's no whatever, I was enslaved, I'm crazy, I've been psychologically damaged, all of this stuff that I already know that's happening to me, but I stay focused. I got to get through all of that, because at the end of the day, Dave, just like you started off with this conversation, you don't know if you're going to die in a minute from now, 2 minutes from now, 20, 30, 40 years from now, but you do know you're going to die, and you don't even know if you're going to die from COVID, high blood pressure, diabetes, blood clot. So if we stay focused, and I know people think that I do a lot of stuff. I personally, in my eyesight, don't do enough, because I'm like most people. I'm distracted. I'm blocked by a lot of stuff that won't get out of my way so I can do more. So when people see me do things and they say, oh, you're doing all of these things, you're doing events and you got organizing and you're working a job and you're going on vacation and you got these kids, I'd be like, shoot. Just imagine if you move these hurdles out my way, then I probably could even do more. But I'm trained to jump the hurdles. That's why I can get to the next step and the next step and the next step. So we're saying that the things that you're doing, the things that all of us are doing that's on your call, we must do, because that is why we have to persistently push, because we know instinctively, everybody knows their own journey. Everybody knows what they're trying to get to, and you got to make sure that you don't get so discouraged that those things that's in our way stop us, because if you don't do what you're going to dream to do, it's not like that you're not going to still die. You just died and didn't do what you wanted to do. But if you keep pushing, and the beautiful thing about pushing, even if you never reached that end like Denzel Washington did, at least you was trying. We have a society that loves to give up, because we will put our thing on somebody else. So somebody else will try to make you think that you can't reach the point that Denzel Washington reached, because they were like, oh, he was, you know, a God's gift, and he had all of these special things from God, and he was Barack Obama, or he was Muhammad Ali, or Malcolm X, and whatever, but you're not. You're not Harriet Tubman. You're not this great woman. So then you limit yourself, because you're looking at all of these great people, not in a reflection that they were great, because you are also those people that we can do the same thing and much more. Like I told you, they had a lot more things in their way than we had. We got to stop teaching our kids about dead leadership. We got to make our kids understand you are the leader. You are the Malcolm X. You are the Harriet Tubmans. You are those same people. And that's why I'm so passionate about telling our history. That's why I do the Million Man March, because that's one historical moment in our whole life that we saw that someone overcame a huge hurdle. A huge hurdle was the image of the black man, that they could never come together in the spirit of love, reconciliation, and atonement. Nobody would have never believed in a lifetime that they would physically see with their own eyes a million plus men stand on the mall and demonstrate that in our lifetime. But yet, even though we saw that in 1995, people hardly talk about it. People hardly utilize the spirit of that thing. And yet we still act like we're looking for where is God, where is Jehovah, where is that? He showed you. And if we don't understand, that's why we got to take ownership of that And I'm not just saying that because I want everybody to come out to the sunrise prayer. I'm saying that because we do that, because we have to recognize if we don't do any action toward our real truth belief of what we can and can accomplish, it diminishes it just because we talk about being great and we can't do nothing to demonstrate that greatness. You cannot do a sunrise prayer after the sun come up. So people say to me all the time, it's very hard for me to come out to the park because it's early in the morning. You want to be okay, but historically, when the sun came up, that's when you seen a sea of men. So if we're trying to create our own true story and our own historical foundation, we utilize that as a symbolic thing that we will always say that it began when the sun came up. So you can't tell the story of the Million Man March 12 noon because if them guys started marching way before the sun came up. So they got to this particular point in Washington, D.C. When the sun came up, people saw it and people was jumping in their cars. People were flying here. People were, because that spirit that they were like, oh my gosh, look how many people is already on the mall. Oh my gosh, I got to get over there. Something's happening. Something, I need to be there. I don't care what it takes, walking, cars, trains. And then at the end of the day, you had a million plus people there. So on October the 16th, here in Baltimore, ever since 1995, with the leadership of Doc Wright and a lot of the brothers and sisters who organized the Million Man March, we decided to hold on to that. So we come out to Drew Hill Park, 6 a.m. in the morning, do a sunrise. Then we go have breakfast. Why? Because you need to settle down and reflect. It's almost like a reunion. Then we'll have breakfast and we'll reflect and people tell their experience and their stories. And also they'll tell stuff like you and Bill Gooden have of where we are now. Matter of fact, me and Vernon just talked today. And the beauty of it is that we're getting better at what we're doing. So instead of you guys doing a separate event, you know, he like, okay, well, we'll do it on October the 16th. So that will be a great opportunity for us to dispel some of the myths that people keep saying every day. What came out of the Million Man March? Ain't nothing. Y'all had a million plus men on the mall, nothing came out. Okay, well, we got plenty of guys that we can showcase that let you know what they're doing in 2021. So we'll have you guys there and a couple of other people who will, again, show us by the spirit of the Million Man March what they have accomplished and what they're doing. And we'll also have vendors and we'll have speakers and we'll have things for our children there because, again, we're tied to the woman and the child. So even though it was a Million Man March, we will have something that will include the whole family. We will also show the documentary of the Million Man March because it's been 26 years. A lot of people haven't seen it, especially anybody that I want to say that's probably 30 down, may never even seen that film or movie of the Million Man March. So we'll have that. And we also are doing a documentary. The documentary is called Before, During, and After. We don't want our history to be told like we just stepped on D.C. in 1995, October the 16th. We want to know what Dave Murphy was doing before 1995. We want to know that Dave Murphy experienced the Million Man March and he's telling his story. We don't want to know right now what Dave Murphy is doing. So the documentary will be in those three formats. And then, like always, Dave, like you said, I am wonderful about socializing. Then after we do all that, then we're going to actually have a celebration with music, dancing, DJing, drummers. And that'll be from 9 to 12. So, yes, let's make it happen.
All right, done. Okay, there's another young lady on here. Miss Kathleen Murphy, can you unmute yourself? And this young lady, I've known for a long, 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 long time. And ever since I've known her, she has always been working with children. I mean, it's just in her nature. I mean, I see her interact with just my sister-in-law. I've seen her interact with my family, the little teeny ones. I'm talking about, yeah, she gets right on up on them and tell them, you know, what are you doing in school? what's your plan? Just that, and then she provide them with books, school bags, anything. I mean, she's just into it. You know, just her nature. I just watch her. And Kathleen, if you can unmute yourself, please.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I don't know if they can. Hello. David?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. We're having a terrible storm, and my system. Okay, I keep going in and out, so I may not have heard a few things. I've been on the call, but how can I help you?
Oh, okay. I was just asking people. You know, we were just talking about. You know,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you? Yes, we can hear you. I don't know if you can see us or not, but we're shaking our head. Yes. But in any case, okay, since you may not hear us or understand, but I'll take it from here. I was just sharing with people about some of the things that you're doing, working with our youth, and Kathleen, she belongs to several organizations that raise scholarship money, and I mean, she did so many wonderful things, and she donates books she reads to the children. And she spent a lot of time with, you know, helping people. And so I just want people to know, like I said, in these trying times, there are wealth of people right here. Now, it's just a small group of us right here on this part, I mean, on this Zoom call. But have you already have heard from several young ladies the things that they're doing and powerful stuff, you know, and they are making a difference. They made a difference yesterday. They're making a difference today, and because they did this today and working with our children and playing them, they also are building tomorrow as well. And so I'm going to switch over now to some of you brothers. And Brother Leroy McKenzie, I'm going to holler at you first, sir. Can you unmute yourself? How you doing?
I knew you were going to be there.
Yeah, well, you know me. You know, you don't hide with me. You know, that's what I'm here for. You know, I'm a blessed man in many ways. And one of the things that I'm blessed with, some people call it discernment. Some people just say that you can just see people. You know, and I have this sense about people that I see things in people that sometimes they may not see in themselves sometimes. But, you know, ever since I met you, you know, you're an easygoing fella. You're very knowledgeable about a lot of things. And I can understand why, because you deal with books. You're an author. You wrote a multitude of books, and you also assisted other people with their books. You also work with the National Black Unity News. We highlight quite a few books. A whole slew of them thus far. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, this is some trying times. And, you know, you have a wealth of information. And so what would you recommend to someone right now, you know, who's going through it right now? It could be books or just some of your wisdom. What would you share with people right now in these trying days?
Wow, that's a powerful question. Because what I would share with them would be just a couple things. I mean, maybe it may be in books. I mean, because books have the ability to not only educate us, but to take us places and to give us nourishment, to give us fulfillment, to be able to pour on us and uplift us. So the first thing, I mean, I would say is if books do that for you, then I say listen to, you know, to do books. I know for me, and when I have those days where I just feel like, you know, that the world is just, you know, beating me up, so to speak, I get into my place where I try to fill my atmosphere with positive energy, where I try to fill my space with positive music, whether it's you know, gospel music, something that can fill me up, to encourage me, you know, that will help me to be able to keep going. And then the last thing as far as encouragement goes, turn the TV off. Turn it off. Don't watch TV. Don't get on to social media, because social media and media, period, will have you believing that you know, but this world that we live in is just full of nothing but disaster. Now, it has its place, and there's some traumatic things going on, but you know, you have to be careful of what you pour into you and what you allow to come into you. I'll give you an example. I've been on Clubhouse for maybe a couple of months now, and it's just amazing to me the energy that you get from just listening to people, because you can't see anybody in Clubhouse. It's all about the energy of the room. It's all about what people are conversating about. And some of those rooms, I was just like, I can't stay in here, because the energy was just so, it was so negative. So you've got to be careful of what you know, what you allow yourself to be in. And some of the other rooms have just been phenomenal. It has been a place that, you know, that was uplifting. It's been a place of positive energy. It's been a places that I've gone and learned. I've met people from all over on Clubhouse. They have people from Australia, from all parts of Africa on there, from the diaspora, from down in Jamaica. So it's been phenomenal. So you have to be careful of who you allow in your space, and what I call your circle of impact. That will assist you in being able to kind of uplift yourself and to take the worries of this world and, you know, and be able to handle it and, you know, be surrounded by like-minded people. Something, you know, something as you know, like you said, this may be a small group, but the energy that's in here is so powerful, and what we seek to do here is so powerful too. And I always tell people this: have a talk with Jesus, have a talk with him, tell him, you know, it may sound cliche, but it is. And I will have a conversation with God. I'll be like, if I'm mad about something, I'm going to talk to him about it now. Now, I understand that he's the only one that can fix it, but I tell him what's on my mind. If I'm, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I need your help to help me get through this. You know, I'm seeing this. I mean, I need your help. I need you to be able to get through this, you know? And I can't make it without you. I can't do this walk without you. And I need you to encourage me. And he's no shorter than his word. You know, he is no shorter than his word. And he will bring, whether it's an individual, whether it's individuals, you know, that he will bring around you, or you'll see things that will, you know, that will kind of turn around, all of those things, because he loves us so much. You know, and his promise is that He would not bring any hurt, harm, or danger to us, because before we were born, he knew who we were. He knew the purpose that he gave to us, the assignment that he's given to us. So that's what I would say to someone. You know, books are a phenomenal way to be able to, you know, to be able to educate yourself and gain knowledge and everything like that. But the people that you are around, the things that you read, the things that you listen to, and the things that you allow to be with you will certainly assist you in being able to get through, you know, get through what we're going through.
All right, thank you. And you know, you got a point there. I don't know about anybody else, but I was told, and I practiced this. You know, it's written too. They say you come to God as you are. You know, there was a time in my life I used to think, you know, I had to be all cleaned up. I had to be, you know, straight and narrow, or you won't hear, or this, that. I come just the way, I mean, seriously, just the way, you know, and keep it real. And so those of you, like I say, the word of prayer is so powerful, but, you know, don't think that just because of what you did yesterday or whatever the situation may be, just come to just the way you are. Honesty and in truth, and you will see all sorts of things. And speaking about going to God, we got Bishop William Hawthorne with us this evening too, an old friend of mine. We go a long way back.
Hey,
yes.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And we go a long way back, and he's going to be one of our podcasters, one of our group of podcasters. So, Mr. Bishop Hawthorne, how you doing tonight, sir?
Blessed, highly favored.
All right. Okay, so look, you know, we just having a discussion because a lot of people are going through a lot of things with the floods and hurricane, fires, war, rumors of war, and job situations, and these trying days. What kind of encouragement would you give someone or to a group of people that's going through these things?
Well, first and foremost, I did a live, telecast or a live broadcast from Facebook Saturday morning. And it spoke on the concerns that touched my heart, which is near to what we're talking about tonight. I talk to Christians and believers, and I hear them talking about, oh, they wish that they're praying that God will deliver us out of this pandemic, and the devil is a liar, and we rebuke the devil, and I listen to them speaking condescendingly on the very prophetic act that is taking place in times like this, which go to the scripture of fulfilling the word of God. Because except we go through tribulation, except we go through hard times and have hardships, how can we be proven? How can we know that we truly are his? And I tell people all the time, we're still in Egypt. Being that we're still in Egypt, we have to be mindful that we're under the thumb of Pharaoh, the system, the monarchy. And we are in the process of what is known as Passover. The very aspect of the death angel passing over this land, churches that were too busy to fellowship and to communicate and to network and to come together in unity, who were self-absorbed and caught up in their own concerns and their own issues. Now, I'm going to say it like it is. I don't care who likes it and who don't like it, because the truth is going to set you free. But the bottom line is, those that were obedient during the time that the death angel was going over survived. And those that did not obey, having their doorposts and window posts and window sills covered under the word of the blood of the Lamb and inside instead of going out into the midst of darkness, except to be led by the Spirit of God. And you know when you're being led by the Spirit. I can't be the judge of that, because someone else is going to have concerns, or they're going to be in need, and we got to be there for them. I always tell people, I know that you're my brother, and I know that you're my sister when you come see about me. And so those folks who are so concerned about sickness and being exposed to COVID, I say, look, God gave us wisdom. We had to have vaccines from polio and smallpox and yellow fever and all the other past sicknesses and issues and pandemics that have spiked and dealt with mankind. And we had to be inoculated before we could go to school. And now we acting like fools. Be for real. You know, get this thing, be covered, because God don't give you any bragging rights for being ignorant and testing him when he's already instructed us on what we need to do. Just go, he says, be subject to every authority. If they say you need an inoculation or an injection, get it. You're going to be all right. because you're being obedient. At the end of the day, there are a lot of people who don't have anybody to come and look in on. And we need to find people who are accountable, who are ambassadors or, mercenaries or missionaries. But yeah, we got to be a mercenary as well. Go out there and travel in that death air. And I don't know about the airborne pathogen of COVID, but I'm breathing God's breath. And so when we go in and I look at other people, I only got one thing to say. I say, be strong and of good courage. And believe me, if you be obedient, serving one another with love and having faith that this is just a passage so that we can fulfill what God's scriptures have forecasted and told, you know, he says, what? There'll be rumors of wars. There'll be divers earthquakes. All these things are coming to pass. He tells us in the 91st Psalm, he said, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why should I worry? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Now, if somebody out there is not able to fend for themselves and they need assistance or they need somebody to come in and bring them some resources because they're not able to get out, you know, give us a call. I have no fear to bring something and drop it at your doorstep, food basket, you know, have no problems. Uber Eats, well, here he is. Big platform will deliver to your doorstep, and you can say thank you later. But we have to be willing to help one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not willing to help one another, to be there for one another, whether we survive this pandemic or not, we haven't fulfilled our calling. We haven't fulfilled the purpose of our lives. And we succumb to fear rather than being overcome with love. At the end of the day, it's in your walk. And like I shared with a church off of Walbrook, United Brethren, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to put on the armor of light, which is the armor of God, and put on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that's the tabernacle, which is the body, which is Christ. But here's the thing. That's an original outfit. And as you know, from a designer's perspective, the person who created that design and gave the model to Moses of what we are to look like, how we are to walk, and what we're to do, that's the designer's brand. He branded that armor of light for us to wear. And that armor of light is an expensive product. As anything that's original, it's going to cost. But we got one who paid the price so that we could wear that armor without concern. But we got to be transformed into his image to be able to be worthy to put that armor on. So I told him, I said, at the end of all that was said, I said, you got one question to ask yourself. Are you wearing an original Jesus Christ and his arm, or are you sporting around in a knockoff? That means that you weren't able to afford the real deal, so you put on false clothes that look like an authentic design. Armor of light. Come on now. Somebody got to say amen.
Amen. All right. All right, brother. I appreciate that. And you keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be talking. And we're getting a little short of time here, but there's a couple of other brothers on here. I don't know if Mr. Murphy is able to speak, but Vernon and Rico, if y'all care to share, you know, like I say, this is some trying times. People are going through some trying things. And sometimes, oftentimes, most of the times, words are so powerful that when you speak, you can speak right to that issue sometimes. And words can heal. Words can soothe. words can give inspiration. And so...
yes, they can.
And so, Brother Rico, you can't say if we're Rico, if he don't, you know, speak Rico, one of those people who don't like doing a lot, he don't like doing a lot of talking, but he's full of action. And he goes around with his own God's given hands, and he feeds the homeless. He just don't talk about it. He's out there doing it. He gathered resources. He gathered people, and he take a whole. So I've had the privilege to even go out with him one day. I've seen his operation, man. They fed so many brothers and sisters from downtown, and then immediately after that, they packed up all of that stuff and man and went to another location unload. I mean, like clockwork. Just help me, man. That thing so smoothly ran. I wish our government would be telling me. Never mind. But in any case, they ran so smoothly, and I observed a lot. I observed the people that was giving. And I observed the people that received. And man, what I mean, it was such a blessing to see in real action, giving and receiving, and both ends. The giver was like full of joy because they was able to do so. And those who received was pleased because somebody took time to care, to come down and do all that just to, so they can have some sustenance. And you know, so it was a powerful thing. And thank you, Brother Rico. And my brother Vernon, you care to share? I think he just left. But in any case, Vernon is a young man who's been working with the National Black Unity News, and he's worked with quite a few other people. And Vernon is a true example of a servant. Because Vernon, you don't even have to ask him sometimes. He will pack up his stuff, man, and go to a location and set up, don't ask for a penny, and shoot people, events, interview them. I mean, I've seen him lug TVs around, and he's black in transportation. You see him get on buses with this stuff, you know, I mean, on his own time after work to do these things for people. And so, like I say, he's a true servant. And I appreciate that, brother. So, Vernon, I don't know if you can, you know, but this is recorded, so I just want you to know I appreciate you, and I'm quite sure a lot of other people do. Mr. Murphy, I don't know if you know, because Miss Kathleen and Mr. Murphy, you know, they're both named Murphy. They married to each other, and they're in the same household, so you may be having
yes,
the
are.
Same. Okay, you can hear me.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Amen.
So would you like to share anything about, like I say, when people are going through such difficult times, what type of inspiration would you like to share with them?
Well, first and foremost, thank you so much, Dave, for giving me this platform. I am, again, Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy from the National Black Unity News. And one of the most beautiful things about what's going on is that most of you guys are in the right place. You have your hearts in the right place. Your spirit's in the right place. And one of the things that I have found is that, you know, a lot of what we are saying is, it's unfortunate, but it's true. It's called LIFE. And it's just so much of it now that's being bombarded at us at one time because of all of this modern technology that we have. It's called the internet. It used to be, it would take you 2, 3, 4, 5 months sometime to hear about a hurricane in South America just 100 years ago. And so it is a lot more going on because there is a lot more that we're being made aware of. And unfortunately, a lot of it is designed to be made in a sensational way so they can sell and keep your attention. People, you know, it's a shame that if somebody got murdered, that's one thing, big news. But if somebody did say 15 million lives are coming up with something new and never hear about it. And so I get what's going on, but it's called LIFE, but the point is this. One of the brothers and the sisters were talking about earlier how, you know, the master has already protected us. I like what Leroy was talking about, the idea of really finding what you call happiness in life. I like the idea of singing. And even if I'm a little on the old side, I would love to take my little tail feather again, real good. You know what I'm saying, you know? But the point is this. It's about finding joy. And a lot of us don't find joy because so caught up in all of what we're hearing, all of what we're feeling. It is consuming. I kid you not. It is hard not to hear what's going on down in the Gulf area. It's hard not to see and hear about what's going on with all those fires and the tornadoes and you just name it, it's going on. But the deal is that we have a responsibility. It is not about fear. It's not about backing down. It's not about, cowarding. No, it's none of that. Be bold in who you are. And one of the ways you can do that is learn how to take care of yourself. And the best way to do that is breathe. I'm going to say this again, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't get this today, okay, the best thing you can do for yourself is breathe. Take 2 or 3 minutes out of your moments and just clear your head. Shut the noise down. Make sure that your soul is connected to your source. Some people call it God. You can call it what you want. Connect with it. It will guide you through all of this madness that we're going through. And so, David, I just wanted to put it out there to you. But the most important thing is breathe and have yourself a good time with the rest of your moments. Back to you, David.
All right. And so, Brother Satawi, last but not least, would you care to share, even though you open up with us with some positive words that truly inspired me, but would you like to share before we close out?
Brother Vernon is back, too.
Okay. Brother Satawi, you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to share before we close out?
Yeah, the name I was looking for earlier was Henry T. Sampson was the one, Dr. Henry T. Sampson was the one that invented the cell phone. And through that apparatus, you know, we've seen a lot that people have been able to do. We need to remember that the whole George Floyd situation was shared with the world through the sister taking a video on her cell phone. And from that being shared, you know, that it enabled the world to respond, you know, and people responded to that. And it's like right now what's going on with Hurricane Ida. I'm able to communicate with people in New Orleans, even though they don't have power. Those that have generators, able to recharge their cell phones and, you know, and be able to connect. And as long as they can pick up a signal, then, you know, we're able to stay in communication. And like I said, this is a trying time for people in terms of this country, I mean, because, you know, we don't really understand what it's like to go through a disaster that's not man-made, but, you know, in terms of Mother Nature, the whole thing. Hurricanes and other stuff. And Marcus Garvey said a long time ago, look for me in the whirlwind. So, and it's interesting that the storms, when they come, they start off on the west coast of Africa and come from there into the Gulf, which was where a lot of us were brought in terms of the Caribbean, the first places that enslaved Africans were brought to, in which the Pope commissioned was between Portugal and Spain. The Pope commissioned the slave trade. And, you know, that's a historical fact. And we were brought to this new land, not on a joyride or a cruise ship, but on ships such as the good ship Jesus, and how white people have twisted what we took for us in spirituality to use it as a means to enslave us. So, you know, I know I said a lot, you know, it seems like I'm rumbling around here, but the thing is that we just need to remember the Holocaust of enslavement is what has us in the situation that we're in currently, and that, you know, that the tide is turning, and the white man's time in terms of rule is coming to an end, because it was set up unjustly, incorrectly, and did the most damage to human beings. We had no such concept of race until he instituted one. So, you know, just be mindful of the times, people, and heed the call, and whatever you do, do the most that can bring out the best and the good in all people. So with that, Dave, I'm turning it back over to you.
All right, thank you. Brandon, do you want to share anything before we close out?
Yes, good evening. Good night, everyone. I just want to, you know, say I'm encouraged about what's going on with Unity and National Black Unity News. I know this is, you know, this is just the start. This is just the beginning. And I see our future really bright and big. So I just want everybody to be encouraged, and I encourage myself to keep going and spreading, you know, unity in our community. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each and every one for you taking your time to be with us this evening, and especially for taking your time to even share with us who's on the Zoom call, but we share with our listening audience. Because as I said earlier, words do not come back void, and they will fall somewhere. Someone will hear them. Even right now, you know, like I say, because things are on the internet, do you know the power of your voices today through this medium, that your voices can be heard 100 years from now, and it still may fall on someone who may be going through something 100 years from now? Just what you shared today. And so, you know, so don't take things lightly and, you know, the position that God's put you in, and when you have your quiet time and you wonder why, who you are, why you do the things that you do, and sometimes you wonder, why can't I be like other people, you know, just sit back and just be, you know, live it. But yet, because you have a task in life, a mission in life, and when you have a purpose in life, it makes life worth living. And it's a powerful thing to wake up in the morning, to have something to do, some place to go, to have a roof over your head. If they even had the blessing to be a blessing to somebody else, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. For me, it's such a great thing to be around you all, because y'all just, it just spills out of, you know, that's why I ask you these things. That's why we put you on the spot like that, because I know that your wisdom, your maturity, and your love is just, it's going to come forth. And you know, and I'm a soldier. I consider myself, and I got the battle scars to prove them to you. But even me, a soldier, get weary sometimes. And he needs encouragement. And to hear, you know, that's what they say, iron sharpens iron sometimes. And just like you all, those who share from time to time, like we said, we all been going through the tribulations, we all have. And sometimes we need to be encouraged. And so not only do the words fall strongly on each other, but to those who have listened to us. And I just want to share in closing is this: no matter what you're going through, or what you've been through, or what you're about to go through, there's always hope. It's not over until it's over. And for those of you who are somewhat seasoned in life, when you go through, you just look back over your life. But you just, as far as you can remember, as far as I can remember, even as a little teeny boy, I had issues. If it was just a toy, something I wanted, you know, it was issues. Well, he had a toy, and I wanted the toy. You know, there was always some type of issue in my life. But somehow, as you grow and old, as you grow older or wiser, and you take those gifts that God given you, and you nurture those gifts, and they mature, and then you can see the fruit from them. There's no better gift that I can see, that I know of. When you can give, you give from your heart. And that person received from their heart and appreciated. And Fran said it too, you know, when she told that little boy something and said, you will stand up for me, or you will fight for me. That was, see, your people don't realize at his tender age, those words of wisdom would probably change that boy's course of life. To know that somebody would stand up for him, that cared enough about him, that's enough to take him through all a multitude of storms in his life. Just knowing that somebody said they would do that for him. And so the words that we say out of our mouth, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in media. Most of us are. We use words in so many forms. We preach them. We say them in poetry. We sing them. We write them in the National Black Unity News. We take our words and we use them in a multitude of formats. They go forth and they fall on somebody. And all I'm going to do is just encourage you all and those who are listening, not only to receive word, but take your words and use them wisely as well. And because, like I said, you never know. Even the life you save may even be your own sometimes. And I appreciate each and every one of y'all, because y'all, like I say, just said me and my brother and Vernon were talking this morning about the circle that you keep, the people that you be around. And they say oftentimes if you're around people that strong, cares, you know, it falls on you sometimes. That energy, that synergy. And I, that's why I said I'm one of the most blessed men in the world. I sit around because I'm in the midst of so many great-minded, great people with great hearts, man, and it just pours on me, and I'm full of it. And no matter what the situation is, what's going on in the world, what's going on with my family, even what's going on with me sometimes, I do know there is hope because I experienced it on many occasions. I've seen it. I tasted it. I touched it. And I do know there's always hope. So thank you, and I'll bid you all good night. And tomorrow night, you know, the National Black Unity News, who's actually sponsored this podcast, we're looking for people. There's some people that's not involved with this publication. But remember I told you earlier that where I finally got a glimpse of unity was through the National Black Unity News. That these are the people that is on here, several of them, on this podcast are members of the National Black Unity News. And we share with each other in so many ways. But the most important thing we do, we share our information through the National Black Unity News and we send it out into the world. And we bless a lot of people. But we are being blessed, cause, you know, to do that. But at the same time, God has blessed each and every one of you with some gifts and talents. And if you want to share your gifts and talents with the world and with our pup through our format, give me a call. So we need to sit down and talk and we can make things happen together. Because, you know, as we say, the harvest is great out there. And we need all the willing workers that we can get, you know, because, like I say, all the sources that we can even put out there, because people are dying, they're hungry, they're afraid, and they need information, they need resources, and we can provide that for them. And so, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and I'm going to bid you all a good night.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. This is Kathleen Murphy.
I would just like to apologize. I could not hear the conversation when you called on me. And it's a little better now. And I just want to quickly say that the only thing I would like to say is that every day I have a new someone. And I would also like to say that over the last couple of years, listening in on the podcast that you all put out each Monday and then our Tuesday night call, I thought I was already inspired and had all of my little goals in order. It seems like each time we meet, a new idea springs up and is born. It's birthed during those calls. So you've set a fire in me that I didn't know was there, and I do enjoy it. Thank you.
And I, like I said, I appreciate you so much because, as I said, you know, I don't know if you heard, but I kind of spoke for you.
I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, but I spoke for you. And, but like I say, again, there's so many people on here doing so many wonderful things, and we just beginning. You know, I'm 70 years old now, and I feel like I'm just getting out of high school. I got work to do. I got work to do, man. And it's a wonderful thing too. You know, to have so much to do. You know, my plate, man. But you know, and I know, well, they did, most of them dead and gone now. But you know, a lot of people that I have known will get up in the morning and watch TV, eat, complain, go to sleep, and then start it all over again. And die that way. And they was talented people. They just, for some reason, never developed that thing within them or nurtured the gifts that God gave them. And it's like the seed that you think they're wasting on bad ground. You know, just never took root. And unfortunate, but you know, that's why I say for each and every one of you, because I know most of you on here, not only did you nurture your seed, but you took your seeds and you planted and they full grown and sharing with people and you're doing all these wonderful things. So never stop, never give up, and keep doing what you're doing, because each one of y'all that I see on here has been a blessing in my life. And so I thank you for that. And if you want to, tomorrow night we'll be on at 7:30, and I'll send out the link to each and every one of you again, because some of you, and I'm saying that you hear what I have to say, some of you need to be involved with the National Black Unity News. Your word need to be expanded, need to reach new territory, because the word that you share can actually save people's lives. So with that being said, good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, David. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night,
everyone.
God bless you. It's been a pleasure having all of you online with us.
Good night. Peace.
Thank you. Good night.
God bless you all.
Hey.
Goodbye.